Do you find yourself surrounded by the hopelessness of the current financial crisis? In spite of the fact that a world economic Armageddon is looming, those who know Christ need not despair. There is good reason for hope. And Dr. David Jeremiah will show us this as he identifies 9 sound, proven, workable principles from the Bible that can see us through the approaching economic shadows. Here's David to introduce today's message, Keep Your Head in the Game and Your Hope in God, as he continues his series, The Coming Economic Armageddon.
Well, if there was one thing I could leave with you as we conclude this series, The Coming Economic Armageddon this week, it would be the very statement that you just heard. Here's what we need to do. We need to keep our head in the game and our hope in God. That means we don't stick our head in the sand and say, things are so bad, I don't want to hear any more about it. I'm not watching the news. I'm not reading the newspapers. This is just awful, and I don't want to hear about it. That's the wrong approach. On the other hand, if you think you're going to find hope in this world, that's also the wrong approach. You have to keep your head in the game and keep your hope in God. And we're going to talk about that for the next 3 days here on Turning Point. Well, as you know, we're in the month of November. It's a beautiful month. For many of you who live in the East, the colors have changed. Some of you may still be experiencing that and enjoying it. And it's a wonderful time for us to tell you that now available from Turning Point is our 2011 calendar. The title of the calendar is Walk With Me. You can inquire about this by going to our website or calling our order line. You can write to us in any way you want to get in touch with us and request information about this beautiful calendar that begins actually right now in the month of November and takes you all the way through the year 2011. And the beauty of this calendar is overwhelming to me. The pictures will lead you down some pathways where you can imagine yourself walking and talking with God on just about any given day. Each month has a meaningful theme and scripture to call to your remembrance that indeed, God does walk with us in every situation. This 14-month calendar includes holiday planning for 2010 that will lead you into the exciting new year God has planned for 2011. This is available. Just call us, write us, go to our website. We will make this available to you, and you will have it in time to enjoy it now and throughout the new year. Well, it's time for us to get started with today's lesson. This is an exciting thought as we look back over our shoulder at all the information we've amassed in these last weeks. Now it's time for us to go forward. And what do we do? Well, today I'm going to encourage you to keep your head in the game and your hope in God. Gatlinburg, Tennessee is a family-friendly tourist town that serves as the gateway to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Don and I have visited that region many times. It's one of our favorite places in the United States. It's known for its rustic hotels, its quaint shops, its popular restaurants. It's all surrounded by green-clad hilltops and smoky mountain peaks. Few people who go there ever take the time to travel the back roads. They're not easily traveled. But if you were to pull off to Campbell Lead Road, you would drive by a remarkable house that sprawled at the end of a sloping, winding drive. Believe it or not, it's a 16,512-square-foot super chalet nestled in the side of the mountain. The 3-story living room offers lofty windows and fabulous views of the Smoky Mountains. It's a massive home, but it's empty. It once belonged to Dennis Bolts, a middle-aged stock trader who apparently bilked clients out of millions of dollars in an elaborate Ponzi scheme. Some say he's the hillbilly version of Bernie Madoff. Having been forced into bankruptcy, Bolts very well may have swapped his chalet for a jail cell. The real losses, however, are those of his victims. One victim, a woman by the name of Virginia Borum, a recently widowed woman, worked for years as a secretary in Europe, and she lost the bulk of her life savings. I don't know what my fortune is going to be now, she said, because I've only got enough money to pay my rent. Literally, I am living on the charity of friends. Like many others, Virginia Borum thought her investments were sure and her money was safe, and now it's gone. The loss of one's personal financial stability
can and does often happen for reasons other than being cheated or making bad investments. How many of you know that money just has a way of getting away from us? The Bible says, cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off into the sky like an eagle. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. We've always known that money has wings, but until recently we haven't begun to comprehend its wingspan. Our financial security, as you know, can vanish in an instant. If we didn't know that before, we surely know it now. If you have stood by and watched your savings and investments shrink to the point that you must scale back your lifestyle, your retirement plans, well, you're in good company. Millions of people have recently suffered losses in pension accounts and retirement funds and investment income, and many have suffered the loss of wealth trying to help children and family and friends in these very distressing times. Others have drained their savings during prolonged bouts of unemployment or because of catastrophic illness and crippling medical bills. I want to turn away from the bleak picture of the global economic future and speak directly about what you can do now to prepare and either avoid or ease the stress to your own finances. We cannot escape what is happening in the world. As I've said, we are now seeing the looming shadow being cast by biblically predicted catastrophic events, and we cannot avoid living under that shadow. We may experience difficulties due to the global economic and political disintegration, but we know that we are in God's hands. Not only can we trust Him for our future, He has also given us some sound financial principles in His book that can rule our economic lives in a way that will help to stabilize us and get us through these very tough times. So in spite of the global economic Armageddon, we do not need to despair. We have good reason for hope. And that hope is what I want to talk with you about in this message today. I'm not so presumptuous as to offer you specific financial advice. I would never do that. I just want to give you sound, proven, workable principles that come directly from the Word of God that you can use as you see the coming economic shadows creeping across the world. Let me begin with the first thing, and that is the idea that the Bible has a unique biblical approach to money. The Bible doesn't see money like you and I see it. In fact, Scripture tells us that God's perspective on wealth is the opposite that most of us have as we look at wealth today. He's not concerned about our building huge, massive wealth investments on this earth, but He is very concerned that we build a good foundation for our spiritual future. It's easy to get caught up today in the race for wealth and then forget the perspective of Scripture. If you read the Bible carefully, you'll discover that in many places, the Bible warns that money is a transient butterfly. That's exactly what it says. It likens money to a butterfly that just flies away. Proverbs 27:24 says that riches are not forever. Through his prophet Haggai, the Lord once communicated that the Israelites were earning wages and they were putting their money into a bag that had holes in it. And some of you think that that's very appropriate for today. Paul warns us not to trust in wealth, which is uncertain. Jesus says, do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He wasn't telling us that we shouldn't save or we shouldn't plan for the future. He was simply telling us that our permanent wealth is not on this earth, it is eternal, and the pound, the dollar, the euro don't make up the future of a Christian. Recently, I read a book written by a very well-known pastor by the name of Bill Hybels, and he tells about an experience that underscored the difference between the temporary and the permanent. Here's what he said. He said, I was sitting in a meeting one time when the speaker suddenly unfurled a roll of stickers in his hand. There's something we must all understand, he said as he walked across the front of the room. Periodically, he would stop and he would put a red sticker on a tiny replica of a house. And then he would take another red sticker and put it on a Hot Wheels car, and a red sticker on a dollhouse-sized desk that represented our vocational lives. You may not be able to tell from where you're sitting, but each red sticker has a single word on it, said the speaker. The word is temporary. And these things I'm putting these stickers on are all temporary. They will all fade away during the future, turning cartwheels like leaves in the wind when this world ends. If you're living for these things, said the speaker, then you are living a life of temporary pleasure, temporary satisfaction, temporary fulfillment. And he continued walking around the room, now silent, as he labeled everything in sight with red stickers. Heibel said, I watched his hands declare the fate of the best this world has to offer. Those stickers made their way to the goods that were all in front of us. Temporary, 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 they said. And then the speaker said, there is only one thing in this room that is not temporary. There is only one thing you can take with you into the next world. And he called someone up to join him on the stage, and he placed a blue sticker on her lapel. When you get to the end of your life and you take your last breath, he said, what do you want your life to have been about? No earthly commodity is going to make it from this world until the next. Not land, not homes, not bank accounts, not titles, not achievements. Only souls will make that journey. Jesus Christ taught that every human being would be resurrected to spend an eternity in community with God in heaven or in isolation from God in hell. And because Jesus understood the eternal realities and believed them to the core of his being, he focused his attention on the only entity that would extend into the next reality. He focused his attention on people. Heibels went on to say as he wrote, I don't know what the final assessment of my earthly life will be when I'm gone, but I know this much. My quest while I am here is to seek people out and to point them toward faith in God. I've tried enough approaches in my life's decades of living to know that to invest yourself in anything other than people is to settle for the pursuit of a lesser vision, that ugly, ensnaring trap of the temporal. Well, Bill Hybels is a modern speaker, but Solomon, who goes way back, the wisest man who ever lived, seems to agree with Hybels. In Solomon's memoirs, which we know as the Book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon had a lot to say about money. I remember when we studied that book, how surprised I was to find in the middle of this book such an incredible exposé about finances. And even a whole chapter is devoted to what we do with our money. Let me summarize what Solomon said about money so that we can all be on the same page. He began by saying five things about money. I'm not going to look up the verses. I'm just going to tell you what he said. He said, the more we have, the more we want. The more we have, the more we spend. The more we have, the more we worry. The more we have, the more we lose. And the more we have, the more we leave behind. If you don't believe Solomon said that, just go to the fifth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes and you will find those verses where those are almost exact quotes from King Solomon. But then Solomon went on to say two other things. In that same context, Solomon said that the power to earn money comes from God, that God gives us the ability to have what we have. So sometimes we think we're self-made. It's because of who we are and our talents and our energies. But Solomon says, no, your ability to earn money comes from God. And most of us will perhaps reluctantly accept that. But let me give you the second thing he said, because this is kind of good news to a lot of folks. Solomon goes on to say that the ability to enjoy money also comes from God. He says it's a gift of God to enjoy the fruit of our labor. In Ecclesiastes 5, this incredible passage on money, we learn that God has a far different view of money than we do. Based on the perspective that money, its uses, and the benefits of it are gifts from God, I want to talk with you about four things we need to do as we face the uncertainty of our current time. First of all, let me suggest that you keep your head in the game. That's right. Keep your head in the game. I know that sounds like an athletic term, and in reality it is. Let me tell you why I chose it. My youngest son, Daniel, was the quarterback on his high school football team, and during one of the games he played as a junior, he took a vicious hit from the opposing linebacker, and it resulted in a concussion. Of course, at the time, we did not know it was a concussion, and so the coach let him go back into the game. During the final quarter of the contest, Daniel threw for a touchdown, and he ran for another one. And afterward, he told us that he did not remember anything that happened after he was hit. His teammates told me later that he couldn't remember any of the plays to call in the huddle, so they would just go to the line of scrimmage and improvise. Daniel told me that he could not remember anything that happened after his head injury, but he just kept on playing, and only his teammates knew that anything was wrong. Daniel's experience reminds me of the way many people are functioning financially today. Outwardly, they are playing the game, but if you get close enough to them, you realize they have no idea whatsoever as to what the game is all about. They have no plays to call, and while they might bumble into doing some things right, they are living every moment in jeopardy of taking the final hit that will put them on the sidelines, perhaps for the rest of their lives. You've probably heard friends say, as I have, "Oh, Pastor Jeremiah, I don't even listen to the news anymore. It's all so depressing. I just ignore it." Or, "What's the use of trying to keep up with the mess we're in? There's nothing I can do about it anyway, so I've just decided to put it aside and go on with my life." Those are two actual quotes from people that I've talked to in recent days. And I think they represent the attitudes of a lot of people in our population today. Perhaps they represent your attitude. This attitude is a major mistake, and it demonstrates an irresponsible approach to financial management that can result in disaster. In his book, The New Economic Disorder, Larry Bates wrote, "We are creatures of comfort, and as such, we have grown accustomed to our comfort zones. We will never be moved to anything unless our comfort zones are invaded. And I can tell you that if you lack understanding and knowledge of the times, your comfort zones are about to be wrecked. Our standard of living, incredible compared to the rest of the world, and our ease of life have literally disconnected us from reality." Yes, we've enjoyed a lot of comfort zones as Americans, and many have talked themselves into believing that just because it's always been, it always will be. But recently, here in our culture, the discomfort level has suddenly skyrocketed, and some have decided that the game is basically over. Now they're going through the motions of living with no idea where life is taking them. Now, while we can understand their frustration and sense the futility, it's hard to mesh these attitudes with the information we find in the Word of God. I mean, God has included several key verses in his book for such a time as this. In fact, one of my favorites is Romans 12:11, which says, "It is high time to awaken out of our sleep. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Like the Old Testament sons of Issachar, we need to develop an understanding of the times so that like them, we will know what we ought to do. In fact, on one occasion, Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, "You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you don't know how to discern the signs of the times." Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in very fragile times, and the truth is these are unprecedented days. We are charting new territory almost every day that we get up. Far from giving us cause to turn off the news in despair, the rapid changes in our times actually increase our urgent need for diligence in staying aware of what is going on. In his book, What Your Money Means and How to Use It Well, author Frank Hanna talks about the four things he does in his business and in his private life to handle not only finances, but anything else in the way it should be handled. Here's what he said. Four things. Number one, find out the truth about how things are. Number two, discover the truth about how they're supposed to be. Number three, figure out how to change things from how they are now to how they are supposed to be. And number four, make myself want to change them enough that I'll do what's necessary to bring about that change. How many of you know that every important decision in life starts with finding the truth? When you know the truth, you've got some place to go. And without the truth, there's no meaningful journey, simply because progress is impossible until there is a fixed point toward which you can progress. So first of all, let's agree, men and women, that we need to know the truth about sound finance. That means keeping our heads in the financial game, becoming students of economics. Back to the analogy of my son's football game, there was a time or two other than when he was playing football with a concussion, when his coach felt like perhaps his head was not in the game. I remember hearing him yell from the sidelines, because I used to stand right next to him when he coached and watched my son play in our high school. I remember hearing him yell at Daniel, "Daniel, get your head in the game." And I know I'm not your coach, but I feel the need to yell, if you will allow it. When it comes to your financial future, you desperately need to get your head in the game. If you have not already begun this process, I hope you will do so now. I hope this series has opened your eyes to a few things about the future and the national and international economy that you did not know before. But please don't stop the learning process with this message. There are other messages to hear. There are books to read. There are knowledgeable people to consult. There are helpful seminars to attend. In this generation of instant information, knowledge about any subject is only a click away. All it takes to access it is simply the desire to get your head in the game. And whatever you do, don't forget the best resource of all, which is the Word of God. Although it was never intended to be a book about finances, you will discover many timeless and helpful principles salted away in the pages of this great book. And I'll share some of them with you before we finish this message today. So here's the first major thing you need to do as you understand finances in this culture, and that is keep your head in the game. Keep your head in the game.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me just remind you as we close out today that tomorrow night we're going to be in the center of our nation, in our nation's capital, in Washington, D.C. We will be at the Verizon Center at 7 p.m., and we will have an incredible rally together as we sing the praises of Jehovah God, as we lift up our voices in honor to Him, as we fellowship with each other, and then as we hear the Word of God presented, we will join together as one family and give honor to the one we love. That's tomorrow night. It's Washington, D.C. There are still some tickets left, and you have to go to our website and request them and then pick them up at the Will Call Center there at the Verizon Center the night of the event. We are so excited about this event. We don't want to forget about the one that's coming in just a couple of weeks. We are also going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on the 18th of November, and that event will be at the Console Energy Center, and we want to encourage you to come and be with us. Once again, these are ticketed events. The tickets are free, but you must have tickets. They're available from davidjeremiah.org/rallies. We'll send them to you, or you can pick them up at least in Washington, D.C. at the Will Call office as you come to the event. We're so excited to be coming into your community. These are some places we've never been before, and we're thrilled with the opportunity God has given us to bring the message of Jesus Christ to these great cities and to share the gospel. And I encourage you to bring your unsafe friends with you, because we'll have a great time together as we share the gospel that night. Next Monday, we begin a new series here on Turning Point on the subject of angels. You know, people have been fascinated by stories of angel sightings, and there's all kinds of stuff about angels out there, as you know, out there in the internet world and in the magazines. And we wanted to tell you what the Bible says about angels, and so we put this together in a beautiful book that has just been reproduced in paperback, and it's available to you during the month of November when you send a gift to Turning Point. That's all you have to do is send a gift of any size and say, "Please send me the book on angels," and we will do that as soon as we get your request. Thank you for your generosity in giving and supporting this ministry. We couldn't do this without you. We thank you sincerely for investing in the things of God through Turning Point. And we look forward to seeing you right here on this good station tomorrow.
If you'd like more information about Dr. Jeremiah's new series, The Coming Economic Armageddon, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, look for two great ways to stay connected to Turning Point. You can sign up for your free copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, or Daily Turning Point, our daily e-devotional. Sign up today by visiting us at davidjeremiah.org/radio or call 800-947-1993. That's 800-947-1993. When you call or visit online, request this month's resource, Angels. In this book, Dr. David Jeremiah uses Scripture to unveil the remarkable truths about these agents of heaven and their role and work in our world. Be prepared to find out some truly amazing facts about these heavenly beings. Just call or visit our website today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue The Coming Economic Armageddon here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.